Hello, middle-aged gamers, and welcome back to our weekly podcast. Today, Adam and Antoine will talk about their favorite hidden gems far away from the world of AAAs. As usual, please help us grow by sharing our content and by following us on our YouTube channel, Middle-aged Gaming. And with that out of the way, enjoy the show!
Hello and welcome back to Middle Age Gaming. We are here on January 12th here in Taiwan, but I suppose it's January 11th for those of you who are stateside or Canadian side. And today we have a very special theme for you, which Antoine is about to introduce.
Absolutely. So we know that you are extremely bored these days with AAA, which looks like each other. Like, for instance, take the latest Far Cry 6. It's barely a copy and paste of the five. It's boring. Or take big franchise like Call of Duty. Big franchise like this, developers, they don't want to take any risks. They know it's going to sell simply because the name is big. So the games are very boring these days. I don't really enjoy my AAAs. So in order to relieve my boredom and Adam's, we chose today to talk to you about our hidden gems. And my conception of hidden gems, maybe Adam will be different, but they have to be independent games which are not much talked about and which are absolutely excellent. How do I know they're excellent? First, because I like them. And on Steam, they are overwhelmingly positive, so it's not just my opinion. And I will start this with my first game, which you can find on Steam for $33 Canadian. So that's not that expensive. And it's Spiritfarer. Let me just take my cheat sheet because I don't have the publisher right in mind right away. So it has been developed and published by Sender Lotus Game. As I said, it is an indie game and it was released on August 18, 2020. And now I'm going to try to describe the genre because that's a bit tough. Simply because the whole point of the game is that it's a very story-rich and very emotional game, but you need gameplay to sublimate everything. So it's a bit of a platformer, it's a bit of exploration, lots of island, lots of sea, and a bit like a Wind Walker but top down. And it's an extremely good game, and it's actually good simply because of the storytelling. So there's a few disclaimers about this. First of all, and that's not very joyful, but if you have lost someone or if you are quite depressed these days, do not play this game, because that's not going to make it any better. The point of the game is that you play a little girl who's replaced, so correct me, because in French we call Charon or Sharon. You know, the
Sharon would be the English equivalent, yeah.
Sharon. So the guy who conducts the boat who cross the river Styx and bring you from the state of death to death, you know, you cross the river Styx.
Oh, and Sharon, so you
Yeah, Sharon, yeah. Okay. So you replace this guy, your little girl, and you will meet some very nice characters. I think there's 6 or 7, and they are about to die, and you need to bring them to the gate of death and let them pass peacefully. So, as I said, not very joyful, very emotional, but it's where it's... This game is extremely beautiful, is that before they pass away, you need to clean up their regret, if you will. So you have to travel from place to place. There's a little bit of base building as well, because you are on Sharon's boat and you need to build up on the boat. You know, each of them needs to have their accommodation, things like this. So there's a bit of everything. Personally, I really like the gameplay because it's very simple and it really enriches the story. So it's something I really recommend. Again, as a disclaimer, I would say that it would be much more appreciated by people 30 and older, because of course, the older you get, the more experience you have with loss and, you know, things like this in extremely joyful. But if you are like 10 to 15, I hope for you that you didn't experience, you know, too much of this yet. And I don't think this game is going to really attract you. But for us, I'm gonna say it with my manful pride away. I tear up more than a couple of times in this game. And yet I finished it because the story is just beautiful and you kind of reminisce, you know, past events. And I really, really recommend this game, but only if you are, you know, in a joyful mood.
Okay. I've heard a lot about this game, and from what I had seen and then now looking at the trailer, it's very different than what I had thought it was, but it looks very interesting. And I didn't realize that it was a platformer. I had no idea about that. I thought it was entirely about the boat and, you know, dealing with people and their problems and whatnot. And yeah, yes, I had no idea about the platforming aspect.
You have a lot of little side quests from, you go from island to island. You just visit islands, do some secondary quests just to fluff up a bit the game, really, because the stories can be quite heavy. So you need a bit of lighter mood in the game. So they really make the balance. That's where, you know, it shines. They really balance it very well. It's not doom and gloom the whole time. Oof. Otherwise, I wouldn't recommend it.
So, I mean, you said that if you're depressed or that if you've lost someone recently, that this would probably not be a good game. But I mean, no. Do you think for some people it might actually be a good game, because it's kind of like gives you maybe some closure or something like that? Or do you think if you've had this, do not play this? Absolutely not.
That really depends on you, you know, on your state of mind. It is indeed, the whole game is about bringing closure for all these people. You know, they need to bring a closure to their life, to their mistakes, to their regrets, to finally be able to tell, you know, the little girl you're playing, okay, I'm good now, you can bring me to the gate, and I'm finally ready to pass away. And I'm not gonna spoil, but there's a reason this little girl is replacing Sharon as well. So no spoiler, I already said too much, so play the game and you will see why.
Hey, we got somebody in the chat here. This should be my student, Kevin, if I remember correctly. How you doing, Kevin?
Hey.
So, yeah, it looks really interesting. Now, in the trailer, we see basically the only human is the girl. So these other characters are all animals. Now, are they human, but they've taken on kind of animal aspects? Or are these like spirits such as... you know, like a deer spirit or a frog spirit or something like that?
That's up to your interpretation. But, you know, for me, they were humans when, you know, they were alive. And in these games, they are depicted as animals because it's cuter. And each time, I think it is the screenshot, so I'm not spoiling anything, but each time you pass them through the gate of death, they... kind of animal is represented in the stars, so you can see them. The more you advance in the game, you can always see them in the stars to remind you of the little story you had with them, which make it even more interesting. So I think it's more like just to add a bit of cuteness to the game.
Okay, so you can even if on later missions you can still kind of see the guys that you've helped in the sky. They're still kind of there with you. So that's exactly interesting. Now, is this the... if it's story driven, do decisions you make impact what happens, or is it you're always like inevitably at some point you're going to help them? It's just a matter of how long does it take, or could you actually, if you don't do things right, could it actually screw up their passing?
No, you can't.
Okay.
What you can do is that you can finish. You don't need to help them all to finish a certain number. You need to help a minimum of animals, I think, if I recall properly, to advance the girl story. But you choose when you end. I played it 2 years ago, so it's already a bit old. But if I recall, yes, you can finish the game whenever you want to, and you don't have to finish. But you can choose which story, which animal, you know, story you will do first. If you either you want to do it linear, first I help this person, then this person, or you try to do a bit everything at once, which is not extremely good, simply because you have that much space on the boat, and you know that's a bit hard, you know, to have already at some point you have three passengers at once, and that means there's a lot of care to take on this. So.
Okay,
I don't like mixing up the stories.
Yeah. Now, how would you say is replayability in this? Like, if you've played it and you've done everybody's, I mean, is it kind of randomized as to when people show up, or is it more scripted?
No, no, that's entirely scripted. It's okay. It's a story. It's a nice little tale, and as I repeated several times, extremely emotional. And once you arrive at the end of the story, thank you, but no. I finished. I'm very happy, and I end up a whole box of Kleenex, maybe two. So I'm good now. You know, I was very happy to play this game. No more. Thank you.
Okay, so this is not the kind of game you might want to come back to in 10 years or something like that.
It's the kind of game that you remember fondly, but you leave it, you know, at the back of the library. I remember okay. It like, I'm extremely glad I played it. I'm really, really happy I played it. But I know what I played, and I don't want to go through that again. Thank you.
Fair enough. Okay. Yeah. That sounds, I've definitely had games like that where you're like, okay, I'm done with this, and I'm glad I played it, but I'm not going back. No.
Okay. It's just too intense, really.
Yeah. I really like the animation here. They really went out of their way to make it very cartoon-like, so it doesn't have the set. Really, it's very smooth. It doesn't have the kind of sprites, you know, where you have repetition of actions. It really looks like they drew out like entire scenes almost, like right there they're showing her hugging the lion as he passes on, and they have the whole thing animated, you know, so it looks like a very, it doesn't look like, you know, generic sprites hugging each other. It looks like they drew out the entire scene.
It's so, really like a beautifully depicted fairy tale. Yeah. Not fairy tale, but like, you know, a tale. But it's really, really well made, and you won't find any sprite in there.
Okay.
Or pixels.
And given the art style, it does look like a game that would appeal to children. But from what you're saying, this is not a game for children at all.
They can play. It's just that it's way more for adults. Adults will get the reference, or they will get the situations of these people. You know, it's really the talk of mostly old people, sometimes not, but who end up their life, and you know, when they talk about their regret or the stuff like this, you need to have lived a little, you know, to understand what they regret. You know, when you're 10 years old, of course you won't understand why this guy regrets that. I don't know. For us, we're really like, I get where he's coming from.
So do you think this would be a good game, say, like a parent and a kid could play together, where the kid can appreciate it from the gameplay standpoint, but the parent can kind of appreciate it on a different level? Or this is just entirely... No. Okay.
No, entirely. Honestly, I would say it's an entirely adult game. The gameplay is there. It's very fun and nice, but it's not Call of Duty. It's not Fortnite. you're 10 years old. It's not going to be into it.
Okay, yeah. I forgot about modern children and their wants. And
yeah, no. It's, you know, there's really, really little touch of gameplay, you know, here and there. And it's always a bit different to keep it interesting. It's not that deeply pushed, you know. It's what's really pushed in front is the story.
Okay. So the gameplay is not that difficult?
No. Okay. No. It's not on the side. You're not going to die at the boss 3 or 4 times.
So this might be a good game for Korean, because he hates platformers, and not just the idea of them, but he always talks about how he's just not very good at them. But if the gameplay here isn't that hard, I mean, maybe he could enjoy, maybe this would be a good platformer for him to
cut
his teeth on.
There's no difficulty. Right. It's a book. It's not a visual book, you have some visual novel. It's not like that. But it's a book. You don't have a boss. You don't have enemies to beat up. There's no one to kill. there is people to kill, but not in that way.
Are there puzzle elements? Are there puzzle elements, or is it mostly just getting through the story?
I think there was. Because I can't remember all the aspects, to be honest, but... there was a lot of exploration. If you really want to make 100% of the game, there's a lot of exploration element in the on the islands. I don't think that's really the point of the game, to be honest. So that's okay. Just to extend a bit the life of the game, because it's not a very long game. That's why it's even perfect for me. I don't remember I don't know if I can see on Steam how long I spent on it, but honestly, not that long. Oh, actually, I played 40 hours. So it's decent. It's decent. Yeah, but you know, sometimes, you know, I just leave the game running while I go do, you know, the homework with the kids or stuff like this. So it's, I'm not really looking at the hours that much because it doesn't really reflect the truth sometimes.
Yeah, it adds up when you're in the middle of a game and, you know, somebody comes to the door or something and you have to go talk at the door for 5 minutes.
No, it's more like I go take care of the kids for 2 or 3 hours.
Oh, okay. So basically, we should half that time of 40 to down to maybe 20.
Say a good 30.
A good 30. Okay. So a good 30 hours of gameplay.
Yeah.
All right. So it sounds like if you're a gamer who really enjoys story and you're looking for something that's a little more relaxing on the gameplay aspects, but you want something that's a little bit deeper in the story aspect, this would be a good choice. Assuming you have the emotional fortitude to handle it.
I would compare it to some movies, you know, the kind of movies that you hold very dear to you, which are very emotional, not Hollywood, the happy ending story. And you think of them and think, that was a masterpiece. I don't want to see it because I know that I'm going to crack up. But I remember, like, I think there was a movie called Caramel, like this. The same feeling, you know, it's a... makes you feel good inside, but still, you know, prepare the handkerchief.
Okay. For me, that's the first 10 minutes of the movie Up with the old man.
Exactly. Yeah. That's terrible. I saw this story like, oh my God, the kids are not understand, but the parents are going to crack up after that. No, you can't do that so to hard. Us.
Yeah, especially when you're married, and then it just hits you way harder.
Yeah.
I saw it before I got married, and then I saw it again after I got married, and I was like, oh my God, this hits me so much harder now.
Really, yeah.
All right, so we're going to move on to another game that I guess should, in theory, be happy, but is still about being dead, and that is I Am Dead. So
we prepared this podcast especially to cheer you up today.
I know, right? Well, actually, this one I think is supposed to be a little bit happier in theory. So let's see. Where's my trailer?
Oh, so you haven't played it yet, right?
I have not played this yet. I have it, but I have not played it yet. But I've been watching it for a while. So this is by Annapurna Studios or Annapurna Interactive, and the developer was Hollow Ponds. It was originally released on Windows and the Switch on October 8th, 2020, and then it was re-released for PlayStation and Xbox, either the last gen or now gen, current gen, on August 9th, 2021. So it's been out for a little bit, but not for a super long. It's about a year old, give or take. And this is again a puzzle game. And once again, it's about death in a way. But what's happening here in this game is you are a curator for a museum on an island. And this island has an inactive volcano. Well, after your death, then you're a ghost on this island and you're met with your dog, which passed away a while ago. And she's kind of become your spirit guide. And what's happening is the volcano is becoming active once again. So you need to get together with all the other ghosts of the island, and because apparently together somehow you have the ability to stop this volcano from erupting. But to do that, you need to basically help these ghosts out. And you do that by collecting memories of their life, things that they enjoyed, things that they liked. And by doing this, you're going to be able to bring everybody together and save the island. So you're going to be working with other spirits, basically. And the gameplay is really interesting because if you've ever played basically any game, if you can get into the right angle, there's a thing called clipping. And for gamers, we're well aware of what clipping is. For non-gamers, maybe you're not so aware. But basically, clipping is when the camera moves inside an object and you can see the interior of the object. And a lot of times you get really weird things like inverted faces or... texture is not rendering, so you can see like somebody's eyeballs and teeth, but there's no skin. You get really weird things when that happens. And so, but this game is built around basically that idea. And so what you can do is it's very much a hidden object game. And what you'll do is you'll be in an area and you can click on objects and kind of zoom in on them. But then you can kind of control the camera to kind of phase through an object where you get this kind of two-dimensional, what's the word I'm looking at? Cross-section of it. Similar to basically how an MRI scans your brain. So you're kind of getting that effect, you know, where you can kind of like move through layers of it. And what you're doing is you're looking for memories. And there are just things within things within things here. So for example, you could click on a house, and then in the house, you can click on a desk. And then, you know, on the desk, you can look through the desk and you find there's a box inside the desk. And then you click on the box and you can scan through the box and you find a cookie. And maybe the cookie is reminds somebody of their grandmother or something like that. So you're basically going through the town looking for all these memories and just kind of looking through things like how here we can see how they're looking through a toaster and stuff like that. So it's kind of an interesting concept in that they're taking a flaw in a lot of games and they're turning it into a mechanic where this is basically how you play. So that to me was really, really interesting. And also the art style is very similar to a lot of their other things like Untitled Goose Game, Donut County. You're also going to see maybe kind of a similar concept as Watam or Katamari. So it's got this kind of cutesy look to it. Now, like as I've said, I have it in my library and I'm going to play it, but I haven't quite gotten to it yet. But from what I've heard, it's not as depressing as Spiritfarer. So it's a little bit happier, a little more upbeat. The characters there, you know, you're looking for happy memories. You're not facing their regrets. You're looking for things that they loved in life and things that they enjoyed in life. So in a way, you're more celebrating the joys of life and, you know, and whatnot. So yeah, as this museum curator, you're now curating people's lives in a way. And that includes you can scan into people themselves and you can see memories inside their heads. So so you're going through the lives of these people and instead of finding out what went wrong and allowing them to find peace, you're finding what went right and what brought them peace in life. So, yeah.
Can you scan the internet history as well?
I don't think you can scan their internet history. I don't think it works quite that. I don't think that works. Yeah.
So there are the guys who make the Untitled Goose Game?
I don't know if it's the same people. It's the same publisher. But I don't know if it's the same developer or not. I don't remember who made Untitled Goose Game, so I don't know if it was the same ones or not. I don't think so, but it might be.
Okay, so because from the Goose Game, I remember the whole game is based on the very interesting gameplay more than the story. So would that be a bit like this, you think?
Yeah, I think this is... I think this one, it's... Yeah, there's more of a, it's not this deep story of, say, Spiritfarer or something like that. I think this is more of a very surface level story. You know, we can see the guy here with his tuba. You know, you have this guy and maybe he was the town musician or something like that. And I don't think you're going so deep into these people's lives. I think it's more about just a very simple story, you know, just. So you don't have to think too much, but more about the gameplay and the exploration and the searching through things. I think that's definitely more of the goal there.
Ah, that's interesting. And do you know what the public reaction was to this game?
From what I've seen, it's been pretty positive that people have been enjoying it. And I think this is because this is not a typical, you know, it's not a platformer. It's not a shooter. You know,
is it more like a 3D point and click?
Yeah, that's basically it. Yeah, it's a hidden object kind of puzzle game. So, you know, like the ones where you're in a room and you click on the book and the book shifts and there's a key underneath and stuff like that. And you have to find objects. It's more like that. So I think that it's been getting pretty positive reviews. But I think the people that are playing it are typically the people that were looking for something like this to begin with. So it's not like. So it's not a game that the general masses are going to be playing. And as such, you're going to get the opinion of people that basically want exactly this kind of gameplay. But for people that were looking for that, they've been very satisfied with it and very happy with it. And I think it's a good choice for if that's the kind of thing that you're looking for, then I think it would be a good choice.
Okay, do you know what the cost was?
I do not know the cost off the top of my head. I know that I got it on sale. Let me think. Okay, so I got it on sale, but I think the original price was around 500 Taiwan dollars, a little more. So divide that by three. So it should be...
I am dead. I have it on Steam at 22 Canadian dollar. And yeah. The reviews are very positive.
Yeah. But again, like I said, this is probably played by people that go into it knowing what they're going to be getting into it, as opposed to a game where, you know, for instance, some other games, basically they're popular. And so everybody starts jumping on the bandwagon and then they're like, oh, this sucks, you know?
But I think, at least to me, that's the whole purpose of a hidden gem.
You know, not
many people know about it, but, you know, the people, the connoisseur, you know, they are like, it was fantastic and it's not well known enough, and that's a shame because this developer, I want to give them money so they keep releasing, you know, titles like this.
100% agree. So yeah, I definitely think that if you're into point and click games and you like these kinds of styles and that sort of thing, I definitely think this is the kind of game that should be picked up and played.
Trailer looks interesting. I think I'm gonna wishlist this right away.
Yeah, and if I remember correctly, let me see if I got my notes here. Okay, so, and then it's not very long, so they say that it should take you about 4 hours to finish it, so if you're just playing through, but it will take less than 10 hours if you're a completionist. So if you want to do everything in the game, it should take you less than 10 hours to finish the entire thing. So
that could be something fun to stream then, to think about.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, I finished Donut County, and I think either one or two streams. I think I finished it in one stream that was about 3 hours long. Or maybe it was two
streams. You guys stream too long. You guys are crazy.
But, well, we don't have kids, so it's a different world over here.
Yeah, I know. It's just too long for me to watch. You can stream like 3 hours, but cut it in half an hour so I can watch it. Otherwise, I'm like, oh, God, 3 hours. No, I will never have the time to watch that.
Well, I think the advantage of long streams is that, you know, people can jump in and out. You know, if you're only a half hour, everybody has to be there at that half hour. But if you're there for, hours, everybody can jump in when they're available.
No, I mean, you can stream for 3 hours, but for YouTube, you know, just make a half an hour VOD, you know, like
we
can.
Oh, okay, yeah, break it up up into shorter videos on YouTube. Yeah, that makes
sense. Yeah, exactly like you do for this this show. It's much digestible, much more.
Yeah.
Okay, then I will continue with my second game.
Sounds great.
Yay, and it's a very old one that maybe some of you know, but not that many, I believe, and it's called Star Sector. And I love it because it's the same feeling as I play RimWorld. Do you know RimWorld?
I've heard of it. I've never played it.
So it's this kind of game that people heard of but never played. Simply, I will tell you why, though developed and published by Fractal Software or Softworks. Let me just confirm that. Fractal Softworks. It's very important because this is something that you will not find on Steam or on console. The only way to buy it, $15 by the way, is on the publisher or the editor's website. The only way to buy it is there. And I extremely like it because it's a rundown. It's a 2011 game. It's a top-down view of space exploration. So forget about Star Citizen, okay, right away, because it's a top-down. It's 2011, so it's not extremely good-looking. But it makes me think of RimWorld because it has his own aesthetics and it has so many mods. There's a big community of modders on this game, and that makes replayability infinite. Just as a disclaimer again, this game basically was never finished. Maybe it was like three-quarter finished, everything. I mean, in terms of story, you start with a couple of crappy vessels and you can be whatever you want. You can be a merchant. You can be, you can recycle, you know, after big battles. You can be a pirate if you want. You can simply be an explorer, a scientist, you know, because the world could be quite big. You set off how big the world is, of course. And that's where the mods come in, because if you think the Vanilla game lacks depth, well, my friend, you have mods for making it pretty. You know, even like now, there's the whole point, the whole fun for me to play this game is this massive interstellar battles. You can have, at the first, you know, I told you, you have a couple of crappy ships. You can have a whole fleet of massive destroyer capital ship shooting at each other. The light show. There's a lot of mods for this to make it look much better. There's, if you are like me and like spaceships, lots of modders add whole fleet, you know, of spaceships, so you can start with more than 10 factions instead of the 3. In the original game, I think there's only 3. You have 10 to 20 factions, hundreds of different ships, and you can make absolutely epic battles in it. So that's why I play it. I don't exploration is the main point of the game, and it's very fun. But what's extremely fun is gather as much money as you can, explore to find some old ships, you know, relics, and bring them back online, fix them up, and go fight. You have some mods which, if you think you played once or twice with all this new pretty mod, maybe a few some extra quests and all, and you think it's finished, it's not, because there's some mods which completely overhaul the game. Something called Nexelrin, which makes this game as a 4X. So, you know, conquer, exterminate, expand. So you can choose a faction and destroy the other ones and make the universe yours. So lots of mods which make this game, 2011 game, makes it as fun, and I replay it every year. I relaunch it at least once, just because it's extremely fun to play. So it's a hidden gem. Nobody knows about it, or very few people, at least modders, do know about this game. And I really advise you to play, because it's cheap and it's extremely fun. And just, if you don't believe me, a few YouTubers have made some videos just to show you the latest mods that you can check. And on that point, the mods on this game are fairly easy to download and install. So that's a 10-15 minutes game, really. So go on it, you will see, you will have a lot of fun. It's really like pew pew. You like Star Wars? Go.
Interesting. So how's combat handled here? I mean, are you controlling each individual ship individually? No. Or is it more like you kind of tell them where to go and they kind of handle the firing on their own? Or how much exactly micromanagement is there?
You can control one ship. I don't control anything. I view you have two views. You have the view where you see your ships fighting others, and a more strategic view where you can give orders. You have to be careful because your command points are limited, so you can give a certain amount of orders. But if you run out of orders and one of your ships is in dire straits, you can't tell him go out. So each in the latest mods that I played, you can put officers on your biggest ships, up to 8 officers. And each of these officers are a different trait, personality. Some of them are very prudent, you know, they will stay and just shoot with a long-range weapon. Some of them are completely insane and doesn't matter what kind of ship they have, even if it's a small fighter, they just go in the middle of it. You have some are more balanced. They will only engage if the enemy is within range of their weapon and back off right away. So you have to manage with this, because some of these AIs are desperately stupid. I really hate the hot-headed ones. You know, you really have to keep your battle formations if you want to, especially against massive AI armada. There's a lot of relics, fleet, you know, old AI from when it's a bit like a Warhammer kind of setting, you know, once Earth and humanity expanded and then was kind of forgotten, and now you reconquer the stars, and you have a lot of this AI fleet who don't like when you mess up with their original protocols, and they will attack you on site, and they are seriously violent. Really, really have big ships. So you like to have your battle formations really well organized, and you don't want to see one of your ships going, wahoo! Like, what was the meme? Like, Jenkins, yay! No.
Roy Jenkins.
Yeah,
you don't. I'm going to say Poe Dameron from Star Wars.
Yeah, no, you don't want that. But you, right. you can play your style however you want, but you need to have a lot of tactics and choose the right commanders for your ships. And of course, you can completely manage your ships. You know, you can put whatever weapons you want in each ship as their space for rockets, lasers, hybrids, small, medium, large components or weapons. So that's up to you to find what's working the best. You know, what you want as your rear guard, what you want in front, you know, the big old bulky flagship to tank all the shots. Yeah, there's three type of technologies. You know, there's the old line. It's big piece of metal, so upon big piece of metals. There's nothing new about it, but it's big, bulky, and it's not going to go down easily. And to the newer ships, which are like paper thin fragile, you know, you shoot them, they explode, but they're extremely strong. They have massive lasers or stuff like this, and they're extremely deadly. If you put them in front, they're going to die very fast. So that's why you have to find the balance in your fleet. That's so fun.
Nice. Now, if you're controlling a ship individually, I'm noticing here with the shields, they don't seem to create a bubble. Sometimes they create maybe like only a quarter ahead of you or only like a semicircle. Are those just reacting to where you're taking damage, or can you kind of control how much energy you're dedicating to shields? Like, that how much depends. Micromanagement is there?
So the micromanagement on your ship is insane. You will spend half the game or more, you know, like fine-tuning your ship. And that includes the mods you put into it. And, you know, some ships start with only, you know, 25-degree angle shield. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if it's like me and I don't really like controlling my ship myself, you know, I let the AI do. Sometimes I do stupid things, so that's an issue. But you can put some mods to extend the shield, you know, as a bubble. Or if you have a proper formation, you don't need a bubble, just in your front or your back or something like this. If you play by yourself, you can control where you want the shield.
Okay.
So if you're a more experienced player, I don't like it because you spend so much time fine-tuning your ship. If you want to play your own ship, it's not that easy. You need a bit of an expert hand if you don't want to do some very silly stuff. So, of course, if you play your ships, you are way more efficient than the AI, because sometimes the AI is doing very weird stuff. But most of the time, it works very well.
Now, can you jump in and out? So, for example, if you had your fleet and then, say, somebody is, you know, you have one of your gung-ho guys flying in there. Do you have, could you jump in and take control of him and move him back? Or once you've kind of engaged, you're kind of stuck in the outside?
You can, but it's dangerous because you are commander of one ship. And if you want to take command of the other ship, your little commander is going to go tack, 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 go into a very small fighter, take the fighter, go to the other ship, which literally has one point of life. So you get shot, that's finished. You lose your battle. Your commander is dead. And then you can go, yes, on the other one and bring it back. But if by the point that he's already went, you know, like gung-ho and in the middle of the other ship, consider him dead. That's finished. If he broke formation, there's nothing to bring him back.
All right. Sounds good. Oh, apparently, we just got a message here saying other side from Twitch. So apparently Twitch is not updating our category for some unknown reason. And we are locked into other side. I don't know. I've updated it 3 times now and it's still...
It's because
still says really other like side. It will game. Not allow me to change it. I don't know why that is. That's weird. I'm sorry.
It's the same as the last boss. It won't go down.
It just won't go down. Yeah. Yeah. It updated in... oops, sorry. It updated in Facebook and it updated in YouTube. But for some odd reason, I don't know. Restream is not updating Twitch right now. So, and because of the way our thing is set up. No, we can never leave that game. We're stuck in it forever, which is fine with me because I do love it. I am enjoying that game so much. And in fact, I'll be honest, that game has been for me extremely hard not to play because I'm like, I'm going to play this entire thing on stream. And oh, there it goes. Now it finally updated. Okay, I don't know why I did that. But it was extremely hard for me to, during the week, be like, I want to play some other side. I'm like, no, I got to save it for the stream so everybody can follow along with what I'm doing. So this week I went back all the way to the beginning, first level, and I said, okay, I'm going to start from the beginning, and that way it'll give me an excuse because I'm definitely not going to beat the boss, but that gives me an excuse to play during the week to catch up to where I am, and I don't have to play on stream. So, but that is a fantastic game, and I love it. And that is definitely a hidden gem, and I would have talked about that one, but I've already talked about it before, so that is the only reason I am not talking about this. All right, but speaking of, I will move on to my next game, which is not Other Side, but it is rather Shadow Tactics Blade of the Shogun. So if I can't remember, I might have actually talked about this game before. I don't remember. I have definitely talked about Desperados 3, which is a sequel to another franchise, but the spiritual successor to this game. And so basically this game, well, let me go into the details first. So Shadow Tactics was originally released back in 2016 on the PC and then in 2017 on the consoles. It was developed by MiMiMi Productions and it was published by Daedalic Entertainment on the PC and Calypso Media on the consoles. And it is a stealth game. So if you're the kind of person who likes kind of the old school, the game. Metal Gear Solid, like the original Metal Gear Solid on the PlayStation. If you like that kind of game, then this game is very, very similar in a lot of ways. But there is more of a tactical aspect added to it. So basically, you have five characters, and each character specializes in certain skills. So for example, you have a ninja who can throw shuriken or rocks. And if you throw a rock, it'll distract enemies. You know, they have their cone of vision, similar to what you would see on the radar back in Metal Gear Solid days. If you throw a rock, it'll distract them. So they'll look away. If you throw the shuriken, you can kill them. Or shuriken? I'm not quite sure if the pronunciation is right. But you can kill them from a distance with that. You have a samurai. The samurai can do kind of a lunge attack. But he can also kill three guys in one go when he does it. So if you need to take out multiple enemies at a time, he can take out up to three. He can also take out heavy units, which normally cannot be taken out by other guys. He also can throw down a bottle of sake, which when an enemy sees it, their vision will lock onto it and they'll walk straight towards it. So you can kind of distract them with the alcohol because, you know, that's always useful. You have a young girl who can set traps and do a bird call to kind of attract enemies to investigate. You have a woman who can dress up as a geisha and she will not be caught out by enemies. And she can also distract enemies by chatting with them. And then, of course, you have an old man who is your sniper. So, yeah. But anyway, each character has their own set of skills. And in each level, you'll have tasks that you need to do, such as usually it's reaching a certain point, but it might also be like you need to poison a certain water supply, or you need to steal some secret plans or something like that. And you have to use the skills of your characters to do it. And you're going to have to use them together to do it. So for example, you might need the woman to distract a guard. And you know, maybe there's two guards. So you need her to distract a guard while somebody else sneaks up on the second guard, you know, while the first guy's distracted and not looking. And you also have to take into consideration, you know, how noisy are certain things going to be. For instance, the shuriken can kill a guy from a distance, but, you know, he'll scream if it hits him. So it can be quite loud. So you need to make sure that nobody's in the area to hear it. So you might consider, I need to walk up closer to this person or whatever. And because of that, it actually makes it really interesting that it's different from Metal Gear Solid in that you have to use these abilities in conjunction with each other. So if you've ever played like an older game, I think it was
Commando.
No, not Commando. There was a really old game. I don't remember who made it. Was it Bethesda or Rockstar? Lost Vikings. Did you ever play Lost Vikings?
No.
I think it was Lost Vikings. It's a really old game. It was on Super Nintendo and Sega Genesis. But basically, you had these three guys, and each one had an ability. One guy had a shield. One guy, I think, was really strong. And the other guy, I think, could jump really high or something like that. So the shield guy could hold his shield up. He could block for your guys, but he could also hold his shield up. And then, you know, you could jump on the shield to reach higher positions and stuff like that. So you had to use the characters in conjunction. And it's similar in this. And then they also have a tactical mode. Actually, I think you can complete every mission non-lethal with the exception of... So here we have Noble Cooper saying that some missions you can complete non-lethal, others you're forced to do lethal. I think you're only forced to do lethal against some of the bosses, or rather some of the targets. But the main guys, you can do entirely non-lethal the entire game, I'm pretty sure. It's just the... The targets. Sometimes you have to kill a certain target. But other than that character, you can do it entirely non-lethal. And one thing that Desperados had over this is that in Desperados, after you knocked a guy unconscious, you could tie him up. And that was considered, you know, that was pretty good. But in this one, you can't tie him up. So if you knock a guy unconscious, he's going to wake up eventually. So you have to consider, you know, where am I going to put him and what sort of things like that. But yeah, it's really fun. And then what they do here, you can kind of see it if you're watching the trailer here. Is they have a tactics mode, and what you can do is the screen kind of goes black and white, and you can set a character to do a task. So you can say like, okay, I want you to take out this guy, or I want you to do the bird call, or I want you to shoot this guy. And you can set up multiple commands, or you can set up one command for each character. And then when you hit a button, it goes and all characters will execute that command at the same time. So it basically solves the problem of, okay, I don't have multiplayer. How am I going to be able to do this if I need, you know, speed? And it's like, okay, you can do this up. You can set this up so that you can do things quickly. And it's a lot of fun. I played it on the PS4. Now, it's also available on PC. And I think the gameplay, since I haven't played it on PC, I'm assuming the gameplay is quite different. From what I've seen, PC is more of click and the character will go there. So you can do things a lot faster because, you know, you can click and then you can click on the next character, say, go here. So they can be moving at the same time. On the PlayStation, you're controlling the characters directly. So you're actually, you know, on top of the guy. So in that sense, it might go a little bit slower, but it still works very, very well. It's just a matter of, you know, you can't just click and say, go here. You'd have to use your tactical mode to do that and whatnot. But overall, really loved this game. It was a lot of fun. It's the whole reason why I got Desperados 3, because I enjoyed this game so much that when I heard that they were making another game, I was super excited. But another reason that I wanted to pick this game today is because just last year, I don't think I have the date. Okay, so on December 7th last year, 2021, they released a standalone DLC called Aiko's Choice. And this basically takes place during the events of the game. It's kind of a side mission that, you know, during a time gap in the game, that they have a special mission where they have to deal with a former associate of one of the characters, Aiko right here, the character who just coincidentally is on the screen right now. But she has to deal with a certain situation. And so basically it's just extra levels. Now, the good thing about this is it is standalone DLC. So you can actually just download the DLC and you don't even need to have the original game. You can just play the DLC on its own, which is great for me because they did the one thing, not the one thing, but one of the things that I absolutely hate in gaming. And that is when you give somebody a game and then take the franchise off a platform so that people who are already fans cannot participate in future installments. So currently this is only available on PC. It is not available on console. So if you played the game on console, if you want to play Aiko's Choice, you have to play it on PC, which is very sad. And I was very disappointed when I found that out. And yeah. And apparently the reason that they said that was, is because just developing it for PC and then going back and redoing things for console is just wasn't worth it, I guess, based on sales or something, or the amount of effort for just a DLC or whatever. So because of that, if you want to play the DLC, you have to play it on PC, and that really disappoints me, because just recently, earlier, I believe it was earlier this month, or no, it was last month, I guess. Same thing happened with Other Side, where they released an update and DLC, and it was on PC, and then us on console were waiting for it, and I was looking on Reddit, and somebody was like, oh, okay, when is this coming out for console? And one of the developers went on Reddit, and they said, we do not have plans to release this on console at this time. And I'm like, oh no, you know, like, I want to give you money, please let me give you money, but I don't want to have to buy the game twice. Come on. So I was so disappointed that they don't have plans to release that. And then I see, you know, Echo's Choice is out, and then they're like, nope, it's only going to be on PC. And I'm like, oh gosh, stop doing this, people. You know, either never give it to me or always give it to me. Don't do this thing where you give it to me and then take it away. You know, that's what I really hate.
You say standalone. Can't you just buy it on Steam and just?
I can. I absolutely can. And that's the thing, is that's why this is a little bit better than the Other Side thing, because this one you can still buy it on Steam, so it is standalone. But for me, it's just disappointing because, you know, if you are a fan of it and you're, for instance, if you're a trophy hunter or something like that, and you've got like, I got the trophies for this, but now I can't complete it with these trophies. So this one is better because if you are, and I think part of the other reason, for me, it's not an issue. My computer is pretty good, but for some people, their computer is mostly for work. And that's part of the reason why they buy a console, is because they don't have the money to invest in a good gaming PC, and a console is more efficient in terms of money. And because of that, you know, maybe you don't have a PC that can necessarily, this game's pretty simple. So in this case, it shouldn't be too big of an issue, but, it's just easier if you can put everything in one place. So for me, again, it's not an issue in the sense of playing. It's an issue in the sense that is one of my huge pet peeves. They did it. So yeah, exactly. It sounds like extra money to get it twice. Exactly. So in this case, it's not a huge deal because, you know, you don't have to rebuy the game. You can just buy the DLC. So it's not a huge deal, but that whole idea of, you know, I've played it here, I want to, you know, and then you have to learn the controls again because you're on a different control scheme and whatnot. It's just easier if you can just, you know, if I can play my PC games always on PC and I'll play my console games always on console. That's just how I am personally. So, I don't think it's greed, though. I think it was just, I don't think it's greed in them saying like, oh, you need to buy it again. I think it was more of just, we did the math and it's just not cost effective for us. So
that's strange, though. I understand, although I don't like it when, you know, maybe there's a sequel which not on the same platform, say like Valkyria 1 and 2 and 3 went on, you know, mobile. But here you talk about DLC, same game, just a DLC. Put the DLC on a different platform. That's really strange and not really common in the industry. If it was a brand new opus like Other Side 2 or something like this, maybe, but that feels weird. Strange, people.
Yeah, it's like I said, it's standalone DLC, so it's basically just the game, but one set of, you know, a much shorter version of it in a way. Mm-hmm. So like, for example, in the full game, maybe there's, I don't know, let's say 20 missions and the DLC might only have 4. So it's basically just a shorter thing. Yeah. But see, okay. So yeah, Noble Cooper here. Some DLCs are made for fans, so sadly they aren't planned for consoles, but I'm a fan on console. So
buy twice.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's kind of a funny thing to say. Yeah, it's for fans, but not on console. Like, console people aren't fans.
Who doesn't like some fan service?
Everybody loves fan service. Go ahead.
It's just I didn't know, actually, you know, Desperado or Shadow Tactics, and maybe shame on me. But I don't know how it play on console, but from what I see on the Steam, it really feels like the old Commando game, or what's the Russian one recently, like Partisans? Maybe you played Partisans 1941? If you don't know this one, we won't go into depth right now, but Hidden Gem as well. Really great game. Tactics as well. Tactics, if you consider that Commando was tactic. You know, it's not like a Final Fantasy tactic, you know, with your chessboard and you move your piece. But
So is it a bit like free range, real time?
Yeah. Mm, it looks very interesting to me. Is it a long game?
No, it's and that's one of the things that I really liked about it is it's not a super long game. Even though I have saved more cash on console, PCs can be built very powerful, but it costs so much to build compared to a console system. Yeah, that's what I'm saying is for a PC, console is more cost effective. It's more efficient because part of that is because consoles can be built in bulk. And anytime you're doing anything in bulk, then you can save a lot of money. So when they release consoles, they can make 1,000 consoles that are identical and, you know, sell them. Or, you know, the buy the pieces in bulk. Whereas when you're buying PCs, unless you're buying pre-builts, which are not going to be as powerful as custom makes, you're not buying 1,000, you know, GPUs at the same time. So you're buying one at a time. So because of that, PCs are always going to be more expensive. So you're trading power for efficiency, basically. So it's really unfortunate. But I totally forgot what I was going to say, though.
We're talking about gameplay on Shadow Tactics.
Yeah, I just completely lost my train of thought. Yeah. 8K PC system, play 10-year-old games. Yeah, and that's the thing too, is if you're going to be playing, you have to consider if your needs. That was one thing that when I built my PC, that was the consideration is I typically play on console, but the one game that I was playing with friends on PC was Civ 6, and that was it. It was like, okay, that's my benchmark is Civ 6. I don't need 8K gaming. I don't need 60 frames per second. I just need something that's going to play Civ 6 on its highest settings. And then I was able to, you know, and then maybe go a little bit higher just in case. And because of that, I was able to build a gaming rig that completely fills my needs for relatively cheap. But again, I was not going for high frame rates. I was just playing for Civ 6. So yeah, you really need to consider if you're going to be playing, you know, what do you call it? If you're going to be playing Cyberpunk 2077 at max settings, then yeah, you absolutely need to consider a PC that's going to be able to. Yeah, you need to be able to do that. But if you're going to be playing, you know, indies and emulators, you don't need that 8K rig. So, but that doesn't, just because you don't need it doesn't mean you don't want it. So. And people enjoy building things, so yeah.
Exactly. Plus, the PC is, you know, a box where you can tinker in, and you know you don't need a very strong setting right now, but you still have the space to make it bigger and buy a better graphic card or cooling system or stuff like this. You can't do that on console, so it's way more
exactly
flexible.
Exactly, and it's a hobby. I mean, you know, like I enjoy building my Gundams here. It's fun for me. If you enjoy building PCs, even if you're not going to be using it for the power, if you just enjoy that, you know, that's your thing, building it. For some people, that's it. It's not about, you know, using it. It's about building it. That's the fun part, is the fact that I can create this thing. So yeah, you know, I have no problem with people that want to do that. More power to them, especially if you have money. I don't. So
by the way, we already reached the end of the show. So do
we reached the end of the show. I do have a little bit of news to go into. So we'll just touch on these real quick. The first one is that E3 is going to be entirely online again this year. It was entirely online last year in 2021. So if you want to attend E3, sorry, you're going to have to do it entirely through streaming, which is kind of funny because I have not been to one of these big conventions in a very long time. And my wife was always like, oh, yeah, I know you like those things. You should definitely go. So this was back in 2018. And she was like, well, which one did you want to go to if you went to one? And I was like, oh, it'd probably be E3. But then that year was the year that PlayStation decided that they didn't want to go to E3. And I was like, well, you know, I'm mostly in it for to see what PlayStation is going to be releasing. So maybe next year. And then 2021, didn't have it. 2022, don't have it. Or I guess it was 2020, not 2019. But, you know, 2021, didn't have it. 2022, didn't have it. So, I guess I'm never going to E3.
See, the positive point, the Twitch streamers are going to make lots of money out of it.
Oh, I'm sure they are. I'm sure there's going to be tons of reaction videos and things like that, and people doing it, you know, reacting live.
Oh, just doing live. Yeah, just doing it live, yeah.
So,
exactly.
Yeah.
That was some conference were really terrible last year. I hope they learned.
Yeah, from what I've heard, they're it's going to be a kind of a similar thing where it's going to be toned down. You're not going to have like the big stage presence and whatnot. But so if you want to do E3, that's where you can find it this year. In other news, currently console trackers have begun tracking COVID-19 home tests because, yeah, they're getting really hard to find, at least in the States. So, you know, for a long time, it's hard to get an Xbox X Series. It's hard to get a PlayStation 5 if you want to get one. Your best bet was to follow these console trackers on Twitter. And these people were basically, you know, updating all the time. Like, okay, you can get it here. Okay, you can get it here. This is when it'll be available. And COVID-19 home tests have now become really hard to find. So a lot of these console trackers are moving into COVID-19 tests. So if you want to find how to get your COVID-19 home test, check out those console trackers. And some of them are moving over. Not everybody is happy about this. Some people feel that, you know, this is a gaming channel or gaming Twitter feed or whatever. You know, you should keep it relevant. So some people are not happy with that.
It's very relevant for scalpers.
Yep. Other people are not unhappy with it because they're just, it's just COVID fatigue. And they're just like, oh gosh, you know, like I came here to look for PlayStation 5 stuff to get away from this. And now you're doing it too. So I the first group, get over yourselves. People need help, in my opinion. But the second group, I can entirely relate to. You know, if you're fatigued with it, and then you know, I see it on the news every day. I see it over here every day. I just want to focus on my gaming thing to get my mind off of it. And then you turn around and immediately they're like, get your COVID test here, and you're just like, ah, you know, it's everywhere now. So that one I can entirely understand. But
and think of the Easter eggs in the future game of the game. My test.
Exactly. Moving into other news, Amazon Fallout, they're making a Fallout TV show, and they now have their showrunners. Let me get my notes on this one, because this one has quite a bit. So there's my notes. They're on the wrong panel. There we
You mean Amazon Prime or live show?
Amazon Prime, yeah. So Amazon Prime, they're making a live show of Fallout. The showrunners is live action. The showrunners are going to be Geneva Robertson, I don't know how to pronounce this second part, Dworet, Dworet. Because we survived the virus, we find it small, but say that to people who passed away. Oh, exactly. I mean, for everybody, it's different for everyone. For me personally, I've heard of people who've had it. But I don't know anybody personally who's had it. So for me, it's not a big deal. But then I've been on forums online and stuff, and people have said they've lost 4 or 5 family members. So I mean, it's different for everybody. Everybody's reality, you know, we're all living in the same world, but everybody's reality is different. It's weird. But anyway, back to Fallout. Yes, happier things, right? So Geneva Robertson Dworet, she and Graham Wagner are going to be the showrunners. Geneva Robertson Dworet, she's from Captain Marvel, and Graham Wagner, he worked on Silicon Valley. So if you've seen either of those, then those two people are on it. And the executive producers are going to be Jonathan Nolan and Lisa Joy, who are both from Westworld, along with Todd Howard and James Altman, who are from Bethesda. So they have some Bethesda input on the show. So it'll be interesting to see where it goes. So far, there's nothing released on what the story is going to be. If it's going to tie in with any of the games, if it's going to be set in a different time, because for instance, all the games happen obviously at different times. So there's no news on that. The only thing we know so far is that Jonathan Nolan is going to be directing the first episode. So
I'm just afraid that it's a random post-apocalyptic series with a stump Fallout on it.
That's a possibility. I don't know. I mean, we've seen Witcher on Netflix. So this is Amazon. So it could be very, very similar because it's another game. Well, I shouldn't say Witcher is a game franchise, but it could end up very similar to The Witcher. It could be completely different. Witcher is kind of campy and cheeky in some ways, very action oriented. This one could take it much with a much more serious tone, or it could also be kind of Fallout sometimes gets really serious and sometimes it gets really goofy.
The difference is The Witcher, you have Geralt, which is the main character in Fallout. You can take random Joe and that's it.
That's true. So Fallout's going to give them a lot more freedom in terms of story. They're going to be able to do basically whatever they want. There's nothing. Yeah,
exactly. They can do whatever they want, even crappy stuff. I really hope it's not going to end up just generic post-apocalyptic. Look, they're getting out of a bunker. It's Fallout. Okay, if you say so.
Yeah, I'm curious how they're gonna deal with the wasteland creatures, like mutants.
It could be fun. Yeah, exactly.
It could be a lot of fun.
It will need a lot of budget.
Yeah, if it were me, I would just say, you know what, we're just going to do this as a... We're not going to take it too seriously. We're going to do it as a... What was that?
A goofy one.
Z Nation or something like that. Was that the zombie show that just did not take itself seriously at all?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, something like that where it's like, we're just going to have over-the-top ridiculousness, but that's cool, with cool power armor. That would be kind of my dream for it. And then the last piece of news we have today is, so apparently there are, how do I word this? So some individuals felt that in gaming, typically African hairstyles or African American black hairstyles are not typically done very well. They felt like if you played Outriders, you basically had four hairstyles and it was either, you know, generic fro or nappy dreads, and that was basically it. So the open source Afro Hair Library, currently, unfortunately, if you wanted to take part in this, it's a little bit late. They're not taking new submissions anymore. But basically, this is an open source library of black artists who've come together, and they've compiled, or they are compiling, just hundreds or dozens of different hairstyles for all sorts of different kinds of, you know, trying to get that accurate feel of African hair, because, you know, obviously their hair is not going to work the same way as a white person or an Asian person. And because of that, they are creating this open source library that in the future, if you're a gamer or you're a game developer and you want to have an accurate hairstyle, you can go there and for free, you can go and download hairstyles. So that's really cool. I think that somebody's actually doing that and putting it up for free, so that, you know, that I think that is really neat. And I think that's a really cool way to help your community and be like, hey, you know what, I want representation, so I'm going to give it to you for free. I think that's really cool. And I felt that was news worth sharing. Now, this is not going to be available for a while yet. I believe they are releasing on Juneteenth, 2023. For those of you who are not American or who are American and just don't know, Juneteenth is the day that all the slaves in Texas were freed. Texas was the last state to free their slaves. So this is basically the day that all black people in America became free from slavery. So in a celebration of that, on Juneteenth, 2023, this library is going to be made available to the public. So in the future, you know, developers, you have zero excuse for doing this wrong. All right. So I thought that was interesting news that would be shared. And with that, that's going to bring us to a close. So hopefully you enjoyed today's episode with our hidden gems. Hopefully you enjoy, either you have enjoyed some of these games or you will enjoy them in the future. And if you have some hidden gems that you would like us to talk about in the future, please feel free to leave comments on YouTube and Spotify, wherever you can find us, you know, on the podcast or in the show. And yeah, leave us comments and we would be more than happy to talk about those games in the future.
Or like Noble Cooper, you can straight talk to us in the chat. That works too.
Exactly. Come and join us on the live show. You can talk to us in the chat and engage in us and tell us, hey, you know, this is right. You're great. I entirely agree. Or you can just be like, you guys are amateurs. You have no idea what you're talking about. This is clearly wrong. You know, this was the worst possible way to do platforming or whatever it was that you guys want to say. So with that, we are going to draw the episode to a close. Aw, thank you so much, Noble Cooper. Say we're beautiful. Don't change for anyone. Thank you very much. I'd never planned to.
Thank you, man.
All right. And with that, we'll see you guys later. Have a lovely week. Bye-bye.
Cheers. Bye.